Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Sam and Ellie Discuss Things.
Hi, guys.
Today, we are joined by Hannah Cox, who will be telling us all about B Corps, what they are, who can be one, what it means, just everything, the 101, because it is, in fact, B Corp month. So, Hannah, hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi, happy you could join us. So I just wondered if you could give everybody a bit of an introduction to who you are, what you do.
Of course, my name's Hannah. I have a business called Better Not Stop, and we help businesses with sustainable frameworks within their companies, one of them being becoming a B Corp with B Corp certification, and also with things like setting themselves goals for the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and lots of other sustainable metrics that businesses can use. And I also run something called the Better Business Network, which is a community for business leaders to get together and grow their impact as well.
Interesting. I was so excited to do this episode because I think when it comes to, well, our podcast, our main topic is food and sustainability. And one of the things about making the right choices as a customer, a consumer, is like, is how good the business is that you're buying from. And B Corp is one of those things that I think is really good. But I think a lot of people don't know what B Corp is. So would you be able to tell us, like, give us a basic, like, sure, sort of summary?
Sure. So that's totally normal not to know what one is, because there's less than 5,000 in the entire world and there's less than 500 in the UK. So to put that into context, in the UK, business-wise, we've got 9 million private sector businesses. And only 500 brands within that are B Corps.
Oh,
so if you
word.
Haven't heard of them, it's like, well, not really surprised. There's not many, you know?
Yeah.
And also it's quite hard for a business to become a B Corp. So there's lots of businesses that are still doing amazing, great things, but they're just kind of on their journey to becoming a B Corp rather than actually their one yet. But essentially, the easiest way to describe it is, a lot of your listeners have probably heard of fair trade. So when you're buying chocolate or coffee, you've heard of fair trade, and you kind of know that fair trade's the more ethical one, but maybe you might not know why it is, but you just know that logo kind of has done all the work for you.
Mm.
B Corp is like that for businesses. So it's for any business that's a for-profit company. So it doesn't need to just be a food or drink company. It can be an architect, it can be a marketing agency, it can basically be any business that is making money can work towards becoming a B Corp business.
When it comes to certifying to become a B Corp, what are the things that that the business has to measure up to?
Okay, so a couple of B Corps you might have heard of. Patagonia is a really famous B Corp. Allbirds, which is a US brand, but UK, we've got Ben & Jerry's, that's a B Corp. God, there's loads. Toast Ale's a B Corp. Hattie's Rum is a B Corp. So there's tons of different businesses that are B Corps, but essentially what all of those businesses have to do is two main things. They have to fill in something called the B Impact Assessment, which is basically like a massive test quiz, and it goes across five different areas of that business, and they have to get the maximum score you can get is 200. Patagonia as a guide I think is about 145 out of 200, but the business has to pass and get over 80 points to become a B Corp. So they get assessed on five different areas. They have to get 80 overall to pass. So those five areas are governance. So that means, like, what is the mission of the company? Like, how is the company structured? It's your customers. How do you look after your customers? It's the environment. How do you look after the environment? It's community, which is more like social impact. How do you look after the community that surrounds your business? And it's workers. So it's how do you treat the people that work for you? So not every business are going to be like amazing in every single section, but most businesses will be quite good in two or three, and then that will get them to the 80 points. So first thing a business needs to do is hit 80 points, because it's not like you're an A star B Corp or a B B Corp or like just scraping by. You're either in or out. So you get 80, either if you're 81 points or you're 105 points, you get the same kind of label by B Corp. And the other thing businesses do, which, please ask any questions if this sounds confusing. So all businesses are created to make money for the people that own the business. Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of like the purpose of businesses, essentially. So in the UK, and I use the UK as an example because that's the easiest one to do rather than go into every single country and how every country does it. But when a business is created into a limited company, within company law, so the law of the land, it says that the owners of the business must work in the interest of the shareholders of the business. So the people that own that business, the shareholders, you've probably heard that phrase before.
Mm.
Everything that the company owners, everything that the managing directors of that business does has to be to earn money for them.
Yeah.
So B Corp says, well, that's not really fair. So actually B Corp says you need to change that line in company law, and you need to say you're doing everything in the you're doing it in the interest of the stakeholders. So stakeholders sounds the same, but it's very different. A stakeholder in a company is anyone that's affected by the actions of that company. So that would include its customers. If it's a factory in a town, everybody in that town. It includes anyone that is affected even a tiny bit by that business, which essentially means everyone in the entire world, because every bit business is, you know, has an impact somehow, like a ripple effect on somebody else. So B Corp say, yes, you have to pass, you have to get 80 out of 200, but you also have to put within your company law that you're going to make, you're going to be considering everybody when you're making business decisions, not just on making money for your business. So they have to do both of those things, otherwise that they're not allowed in.
Yeah, which I think is quite interesting, because I think the way that the world is going and the way investment's going, at least in the news, is that people are a lot more aware of sustainability and the long-term impacts of business. And it's not good enough anymore just to say, it's the business is here to make profit, because there won't be any way to make profit in the future if there's nothing left.
Exactly, yeah.
So...
exactly.
That was such like a blast of information about B Corps. Like, anyone listening to that will just understand now, at least.
I know. Well, I hope so. I mean, when you're talking about business law and stuff, you know, people who don't know anything about it, which I don't, you know, why would anybody know stuff like that off the top of their head? But it's quite simple. It's just two things. They have to kind of prove in their actions that they're doing it. But the reason they have to put it in law is because the whole kind of point of it is your business is answerable to everybody then. So if your business gets B Corp, and actually then someone turns around and is like, hey, wait a second, why is that business a B Corp? You can kind of, that's kind of an argument that can be, you know, you can have, because there's a law saying, you know, you've got to be working in the interest of everybody, prove that you are. So that's what B Corp is basically asking businesses to do, prove it through their, through not just like legally, but also through their actions.
Mm. So what businesses do you mainly work with?
So I work with all sorts of businesses. I think because B Corp seems like such a mammoth task for a lot of companies, often when people think of it, they think, oh, only big companies are going to be able to become a B Corp. But that's not actually true. There's lots of very small companies that have become B Corp. And this is because they're small, they're able to make really quick, easy changes within the business, and they're able to adapt a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And it also means that when they then choose to grow their company, they're growing it in a very sustainable way. So I've worked with businesses that are literally just like one person businesses, like the company owner. And then I've worked with businesses who are like 50, 100 people, you know? So sometimes that's because people have started a business and gone, well, I want to make sure I create this business in the most sustainable way possible. And often for the bigger companies that have built the business and they think, we really want to do something good with our business. And we're probably already doing a lot of really good things, but we want to really measure our impact as a business and set ourselves some really clear goals about how we can be more sustainable, because it's important, because it looks good to your customers. So there's a stat, which is B Corp certified brands in the UK grew 28 times faster than the national economic growth rate of 0.5. So
really?
Basically, it makes the business more money if you're a B Corp.
Yeah.
If you're treating your staff well, they're probably going to want to stay working for your business. If you're treating your customers well, they're probably going to want to keep shopping from your business. So it kind of all makes like good business sense to become one. It's just, it can be quite a difficult task for bigger businesses because they've actually got a bit more work to do than the small ones. So yeah, I work with businesses both sizes, but the most common thing I get is people thinking that they can't do it yet because their business is too small. But actually that's the best time to do it, because you can then kind of, you know, create that good framework for your company before it gets too big and you're having to like work backwards, which is harder.
Yeah, because I suppose as you're growing from being small, you're more flexible and adaptable.
Yeah, exactly. And you two have probably had this conversation on other podcasts, but definitely in the case of B Corp, being more sustainable as a business can sometimes cost the business money. So the business has to make sure it can afford to make those sustainable changes as well. So it's also often a financial thing that businesses maybe don't feel they're quite ready yet, because they know that if they are going to become a B Corp, they're going to need to invest some money in their systems and their processes to make it a better business.
Mm. So like your business, how do you help people through that process of becoming B Corp?
So I have four other people that work with me, and we're all called B leaders, which means, so lots of B's in this conversation, and maybe I should have mentioned this at the beginning, but B Lab are the non-profit organization that have created this certification that can be used around the world. It started in the US, they have offices all around the world. B Corps is what a business becomes when they pass the B impact assessment, BBBB. And a B leader is an independent person outside of, we don't work for B Lab, but we're an independent consultants who have been trained by B Lab to help people through their assessment. Mm-hmm. So often what we'll do is, some businesses might have done the assessment and they'll go, oh God, you know, we've only got 40 points. How are we ever going to get to 80 points? Or they've seen the assessment and they've gone, oh my God, I can't even like look at that. That looks like way too much work. I'm going to answer the questions wrong. I don't know what to do. So we will work with a business from around that stage. Either they might have filled it out themselves, but they need some help with it, or they don't want to fill it out themselves because they don't want to do it wrong and don't want to spend all this time on it and be incorrect. And we will basically work with the business to help them fill in the assessment. We'll work out like what areas we need to work on in the business. And then it's important for us to work out what's important to that specific business, what they actually, where they want to kind of place their time and energy. Because I could go in and say, you know, every business should be doing this, 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 and this, and it's always going to be something that's going to cost the business time and money. So I have to think, what's the most important thing for this particular business to be working on? For some businesses, they might really want to change their environmental impact. Other businesses might be more interested in creating better conditions for their workers. So other businesses might be more interested in creating a better relationship with the community that it's working in. So it's about helping that business decide what the most important goals are for them, and then almost like putting them on the roadmap to the right way. Almost like when you go have a driving lesson, your first ever driving lesson with a driving instructor, and they go, oh, like in my case, they're like, you're rubbish. You're going to need at least 20 lessons before you even do your theory, you know. And it's almost like how that driving instructor knows when you're ready to do your theory and knows when you're ready to do your test. And they also know the best way to teach you. Oh, that's the first time I've compared it to driving, but that's because I'm excited. I might be able to start my driving lessons again. But I feel like most people will understand that, right? It's about finding the right instructor for you, and then that instructor knowing how to be the right teacher for you, because they know that you will eventually get to pass your test, but it might just be a different way in which they're teaching you than someone else, and it might take a bit longer.
It's a really good analogy.
No, I'm like so proud of it. I just came up with that.
From you mentioned before, I'm just a bit curious. With all these things that businesses have to do to get the certification, it does have like a positive impact on like the environment. But as a consumer, is there anything in particular that you can like look out for to make sure that these businesses like have done these things?
Yeah, so B Corp is one way. So that you'll see the logo on their products, and they're only allowed to have that logo if they are a B Corp. And you'll find quite a few food and drink brands that are B Corp. So it's about seeing them in the supermarket. I'm pretty sure that Waitrose have done like a B Corp aisle.
Mm. So
I mean, mm. I don't shop in Waitrose, but I mean, that's where they are. But all supermarkets will be like stocking B Corp products. Mm. So, you know, even just searching the hashtag on Instagram, you know, any business that is a B Corp will be shouting about it because they'll be so proud that they kind of passed. So you'll be able to see who's doing it. You can go on the B Corp directory and every single business that's become a B Corp is on there with their score showing because it's completely transparent. So you can see who's got through and like what their score is. But also other things you can look at when you're buying stuff is, okay, maybe they're not a B Corp, but lots of businesses will show if they're paying the living wage to their employees. That's really important. Online businesses can have something called the Fair Tax Mark, which shows that they're actually paying the taxes in the UK, unlike companies like Amazon, who just do not. There's obviously Fair Trade, which a lot of people will already know. And another good thing that is good to look out for is 1% for the Planet, which is something that Better Not Stop does as well. So we're known as a B1, which is a rare breed of business, which is a B Corp and a 1% for the Planet member. But we're kind of doing both of them. And a 1% for the Planet member is donating some of its money from their sales to high impact nonprofits. And also I mentioned the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Any business can work towards those to have a better business, and they don't need to get any sort of certification or anything. So if a business is talking about working towards the SDGs, then I would think that would be a pretty good indicator that there would be a good company to be buying from as well.
Mm. It'll be interesting to hear. I know you said about it before, but if it's all right, if you could tell us again, just for the podcast, a little bit more about 1% for the Planet and like how it works and the sorts of it is charities, right, that the money goes to.
Yeah, so it's high impact non-profits, so yeah, mm. charities. So signing up to 1% for the Planet as a business means you're signing a contract to say that 1% of your sales, so not your profit, which could be different because your costs of running your business take away that sales money, but 1% of your actual sales you donate to a high impact nonprofit. So when you sign up, like for example, I've signed up and the charity that we work with at Better Not Stop is called Just a Drop. And it's a water charity that provides clean water and sanitation on some amazing projects around the world. And we've connected with them. So 1% for the Planet have kind of vetted them as a good nonprofit and a nonprofit that's does really high impact work with the work that they're doing. So they make a really big difference in whatever they're working in. And these nonprofits can be anything from environmental nonprofits to also social nonprofits as well. So a lot of people are 1% for the Planet members with a social angle, which I guess mine is because it's providing clean water and sanitation. And yeah, that's, you basically sign up and then that's it. You just basically at the end of the year, you say, right, what were my sales? Here's 1%. You go give it to the charity. It's super, super easy to do as a business owner. And it's also, there's a big community of business owners who are 1% for the Planet members, and we all support each other as well. So that's a really nice one to be part of.
Yeah. I think all this is really interesting because obviously if you might be more aware of it if you're a business and you're sort of buying from other businesses, but also for the people who listen to our podcast who might not necessarily be in that sort of sphere, they can still look out for these things on the products that they buy, because I mean I've noticed those logos, for example, on a couple of like things that I buy from the supermarket, for example Pukka Tea. I don't know if you ever had them.
Yeah.
They have 1% for the planet on the box, and they've got B Corp certification. So to me, that sort of signals that they're a good business. And there's definitely, yeah, definitely, other ones like that. My favourite coffee from Tesco Cafe Direct is a B Corp, and it's the nicest coffee I've tried from the supermarket, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah, that's it. It just makes it super easy for you to just pick something up and go, oh, I know that's good.
Yeah, yeah, it's easy. You don't have to think about it too much. You're like, it's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, exactly. And there's some brilliant online retailers who almost do all that work for you as well. So there's My Green Pod is a really famous kind of online retailer where you can get household stuff and food and drink.
Ooh, I've not ethical, heard of that.
Ethical supermarket, I mean, plastic-free shop. But I think when people think of that, they think, oh, like a bamboo toothbrush. But like,
yeah,
there's tons of like food and drink brands on sites like that, which are almost like online supermarkets, which, you know, if you buy a bulk order or something, and you've got like a cupboard to keep it free as well, can make it, you know, it's, you know, affordable to do. So I tend to buy stuff off these sort of online retailers who I know do all the vetting of the products for me. And then I get most of my, I'm lucky to have a local greengrocer so I can support an independent business. I also can get a Riverford veg box delivered to me.
That's nice. So that's
another B Corp. So there's lots of ways. It's just about making it easier for yourself, you know, because it shouldn't really be, I don't think, the job of any of us to be worrying about this. Yeah. That's why I work with businesses, because I'm like, this is your job. Like,
yeah,
your job is to do all the good stuff, the government and the business. I should just be able to go into any shop anytime, and anything I pick up, I should be like, oh, someone got paid a living wage for that, you know, yeah. Or, you know, there's no awful supply chain here. Like, you just want to be able to buy whatever it is you're buying. And if that's not the case, then it shouldn't be on sale, as far as I'm concerned.
That's a mindset that I've only just started to realise, because I always put it on my own shoulders. Like when I walked into the supermarket, I was so overwhelmed with like, oh my God, there's all these things I need to think about in terms of sustainability when it comes to what I buy. And it's my, you know, it's my fault if, and it's on my shoulders if I buy the wrong thing and contribute to the planet.
But I don't think it is. I think that really annoys me. Going to swear over that. Really, really annoys me when people get that feeling, because it shouldn't be your responsibility. Like,
no, because it's too stressful, and like it should really be the business and in the supply chain, like you said, that takes the responsibility for being better.
And it basically just shouldn't be allowed. And you know, we could have a huge debate on like this, because I could shout about it till the cows come home, but it really, really annoys me when people feel responsible. And there's a great guy I follow on Instagram called Queer Brown Vegan, and he talks about this, and he talks about how as consumers, you know, it shouldn't be our responsibility. It should be the responsibility of the people that can make those big systemic changes, and it should just be easy for us to turn up and buy sustainable stuff. And I think it's great that we're all looking into it and thinking about it and doing the research. But, you know, if I had a busier life, you know, then, you know, if I don't have any children, but, you know, if I had kids and I was homeschooling and this, that and the other, you know, am I going to go to the greengrocers and buy some stuff online and some other stuff from another online? No, yeah. I haven't got time.
You wouldn't have time to think about it.
I haven't got time for it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I keep seeing all these brands popping up, which are trying to capitalize on like the awareness that people have now, like especially with toilet roll. I saw one the other day and it was like a toilet roll subscription service where like, they'll send you like sustainable toilet roll. And I was like, it's getting out of hand now. Everything's a subscription service.
Everything's a subscription service. And I think it's definitely like the right direction. I wouldn't say it's like the most perfect thing. Nothing else will need to come after this. You know, the questions are perfect. There's, you know, no one can cheat the system. I think it's the best system we've got right now as consumers to help us make those decisions when it's coming to buying things across everything. So I have a B Corp bank account. I have a B Corp energy supplier. I have a B Corp internet supplier. It's not just the food and drink, mm-hmm. but it's across all different industries that I will work with. If I can see, for me as a consumer, if I can see someone's a B Corp, if it's a choice between the B Corp or the non-B Corp and the price is the same, then it's easy for me to know, oh, I'll go with the B Corp because I know that they have not just been considering their social and environmental impact, but they've actually like gone to the extent of measuring it and really working towards improving it as a business. And I think that's really important when you can see people are actually trying to be more sustainable rather than just like greenwashing us all.
Mm. Do you reckon there's going to be loads more that are going to be certified B Corps in the coming years?
I think so. I mean, you'll see it popping up. I mean, if you just put the hashtag B Corp into Instagram, you'll see like how like BrewDog has just become a B Corp as an example. So it's big brands who are going, oh, we need to think about this because not only do we only have one planet we're living on, and we need to be conscious of all the resources we're using, but consumers are more interested in it now. Like we care more. We want to know we're doing what we can in our own little ways to make the world better, right? So it makes business sense for them to be more sustainable because people are going to start shopping with the more sustainable brands. So it kind of makes sense for them. I know during lockdown, the applications for B Corp went up 40%. And really? It used to take around about a month for when you submitted your like assessment to when an independent analyst would look at it. And now that waiting list is 6 months just because there's so many people that have thought, this is something we need to sit down and look at in our business. And lots of businesses are using B Corp because it's kind of like that standard one that is most well known across all sectors. And businesses that you wouldn't think, like architects and marketing agencies, because people work in them. So they want to attract talent that says, yeah, we look after our workers, we care about the people that work for us.
It's so true. Like, it's only worth going through all the effort to make the planet a good environment if it's enjoyable to live on. Like, there's no point in us like all saving ourselves from like the global crisis to sit in and be treated like rubbish.
Exactly. And you know, sustainability, you know is about three things. It's about profit, people and the planet. And I think sometimes people just think of sustainability and they're like, just have images of like David Attenborough rainforests, you know, and they're like, oh yeah, save the rainforest. But it's not just that, it's about people. It's like, how are we looking after people? What's the social impact of the stuff that we're doing? And you know, we live in a world where occupational burnout was classified as a disease by the World Health Organization in 2018.
Like, oh, really?
That's workplace stress. Occupational burnout is now a disease because it's so rampant.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
That's amazing, but it's also really worrying that like no one knows.
Absolutely terrifying. Workplace stress is increasing. 50% of entrepreneurs like suffer from burnout. You know, I think if you say burnout to anyone on this podcast, they'll go, yeah, mm-hmm. I know what burnout is. Anyone that's gone through the last 12 months experience some burnout, you know?
Yeah.
And that's sustainability as well, because it's not, we've all done it. Well, maybe not we've all, but I've certainly worked on, I've worked today, for example. If I was working every single Sunday, you know, and I needed to do that for my business to work, for me personally, I'd be like, well, that's not sustainable because I'm not going to have enough energy to do this or have enough energy to do all the other stuff I want to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we're talking about sustainability, we're talking about looking after ourselves as well, not just looking after the planet.
Mm.
Yeah, 100%. Wow, I feel really inspired by that, you know. I feel like we're ready to go and change the world.
Good.
I'm definitely going to look out for B Corps on packages now for food products specifically, because I knew they existed, but I didn't know that they would be advertising it like on the product. So I'm excited to go and like have a look for that.
Can I ask you both a question now then?
Oh yeah,
so, the tables have turned.
Oh my gosh,
this is your podcast
happened.
Now.
So you're obviously, and I know this, it sounds cheesy, but every week I hear about five people say this, either in a workshop I'm doing or in a clubhouse or something, when someone goes, sustainability is not a destination, it's a journey. And you're like, yeah, I know. Oh, like, we know that.
Yeah. But
for you, what's been a change that you've made, which actually, once you did it, you thought, I thought that'd be a lot harder, and that's been quite easy for me to make that change. And you feel that that's made one of the biggest kind of impacts in what you do. Do you want me to give you a minute to think? I can answer it first if you want.
Yeah,
I'd love to know what yours is. Because we usually ask this question as well towards the end of the episodes as well. So you beat us to it.
Oh, okay. So I think mine was changing my mindset in like what time and money meant to me. So
interesting.
Every time I buy something, like I've had to work to pay for that thing, right? So let's just say the living wage is around like 8, 9, 10 pounds, depending how old you are, you know, in the UK. So every item I see now, and I think, is that worth that many hours of work to have that thing? And it's really helped me change what I'm spending my money on. And I think if you spend your money on less stuff in general, you immediately become more sustainable, because you've only got stuff in your life that you actually need or use. So I've been a minimalist, I would say, since like for over a decade now. And that's just one of the things around minimalism. It's not always just stuff. It's lots of other stuff as well. But I think it was this general mindset of like, when I'm buying a thing or spending money on a thing, this not only has had a whole journey to get to me, but I'm giving up some of my time for that, because I'm going to have to pay for it somehow through my work. And if my work is £10 an hour, then can I do that? And that's helped me be more sustainable, because it's made me think about whether or not I buy things. So often I won't buy something because it won't kind of sit on that kind of balance for me. And I think by default, it's made me like a more sustainable person, generally.
I love that. I honestly really love thinking about what you're buying as hours. I've never done it.
Yeah, but the only way, it has got a caveat that it doesn't work, is I used to work a lot. I lived in Manchester, worked in London. Even though the megabus is only £5, it's still worth getting the train for 80 quid. And I learned that the hard way several times. I was like, yeah, I'm still going to pay for the train though, because that megabus for 5 hours to London was some of the hardest times of my life. I needed then to like treat myself to something just for getting through that experience. But that's been the only occasion it hasn't matched. But so what are the sustainable things you two have like implemented in your lives, then? You haven't answered my question.
I had one and it's gone. Oh, what was it?
I'll go first. So
yeah, go on.
I've only started doing this, everyone listening will know this already, but I've only started doing it since doing the podcast, and it is eating seasonally. Because like, we talk about this all the time now, but honestly, it has changed my life, because I used to be someone who would just eat the same veg all the time. And I got so used to just being like, right, I'm making a pasta, pepper, onion, whack it in. But now I'm trying to think, okay, so this is in season, this isn't, let me try a completely new veg, or like, let me try and put these together. And it's made food so much more fun as well.
Nice, I love
that. I love it, yeah.
I love that. And it's introducing something new to your life as well. So that's really, really good. Yeah, I love that one. That's a really good one.
Okay, I've remembered what mine is. Just, I think, buying secondhand clothes on Depop, because I normally, I mean, I've been buying secondhand clothes for years since I was in like high school, but I was always too scared to buy online because you never know how it's going to turn out, how it's going to arrive. So I'd always just buy it in store. But actually, I've been buying so much more from Depop now because there's no stores open, so I have to. And it's turned out okay. Like, yeah, there's one or two things where it just doesn't look that good on me. But most of the time, it's worth the risk.
Yeah, and there's Vinted as well. Have you seen the Vinted app, which is basically like Depop?
I've heard of it, yeah, but I've not been on it.
I'm on a no-buy year, so I'm just on there kind of favouriting stuff, never going to buy it, but I kind of scratch that itch of like clothes shopping without actually clothes shopping.
A no-buy year? That's so long.
I don't know if
long.
I could cope.
Well, I mean, it's, wait till the lockdown lifts, we'll see how I get on, but it's not actually been too bad, to be honest. It's not
Fair
been
enough.
Too bad.
I suppose don't buy in lockdown there's no need to buy anything.
But... Not at all.
No,
but I like the second-hand clothing thing because I don't know if you've talked about this on your podcast yet, but you know, I was in a talk the other day talking about sustainable fashion and someone was like, well, it's more expensive. And I was just thinking, well, yeah, if you buy a thing new, if you want your new brand new thing to be made sustainably, yes, then it is going to be more expensive than going to Primark. But there's lots of ways you can be sustainable with your fashion by mm-hmm. not... buying an £80 organic t-shirt, you can just buy secondhand. You know, Depop, Vinted, eBay, charity shops when they're open again, and also just have less clothes, like just wear stuff again.
Yeah,
like it's quite. Well, I think it's quite easy to be fashionable and sustainable, and mm-hmm. that's not a new thing. You know, charity shops have been around for ages.
Ellie, you've always been a bit of an advocate for a capsule wardrobe.
Yeah, I always I don't buy something unless it goes with everything else in my wardrobe, so I can just switch out everything and create like a million outfits from like five items.
That's perfect. That's good for traveling too, because you can fit everything in your carry-on then.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Have you guys talked about the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals on the podcast yet?
Not yet.
No.
But this is interesting, actually.
So this is something else that I help businesses kind of decide which one of them they want to kind of focus on. But they were set up in 2015, and there's 17 goals for us all, like everybody in the whole world, to kind of strive towards. So I'm really good to work with businesses because usually businesses will kind of have a few in particular they want to work towards. But the good thing about the Sustainable Development Goals is even as an individual, you can have a look at them and you can try and work towards them just in your own tiny way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would encourage anyone listening to the podcast to just look them up and just see if there's any of them that kind of really connect with you. And then if there is, try and think of a way that you can like work a little bit towards that goal just through your own individual actions. And I think that's quite a nice thing that we can kind of focus on that's like everybody's doing, like everyone in the whole world, like loads of businesses and loads of people are looking at these sustainable development goals as like things that we all should try and have solutions to together.
I like that idea.
Yeah, so and it's something you can do like on your own or as a business or as a government. So there's lots of businesses that have looked at them and said, oh, as a business, we're going to focus on these three goals. But also some councils in the UK have looked at them and thought, we want to focus on these goals. So like Liverpool City Council, as an example, has looked at the Sustainable Development Goals and decided, oh, we're going to look at these goals. And there's other councils around the UK who are thinking, oh, actually, maybe we should look at these and what our council can do. So, and it's quite nice because then it's like everybody's getting involved, government, business, people, which are almost like the three different areas that we need to kind of make changes in to make like big changes in how we're looking after the earth, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I think if you're at uni as well, for anyone who's listening who might still be at uni, there's this society called Enactus, which is in a lot of universities, and it's where you create an enterprise business that is non-profit but but sort of tackles one of the UN Sustainable Development Goals, and that's a really nice way to have like an impact on someone in your town or city, because also it's supposed to help a beneficiary as well. And like, yeah, just do something like that's an action towards those goals. So that's a nice thing.
Totally agree. It's a simple, easy thing to do that's really easy to translate and communicate to other people, because everybody's, you know, so many thousands of people are looking at it as well. Yeah.
Nice.
There you
go. Lovely.
Hannah, it was lovely to have you on and to learn about B Corps and everything. Everything sustainability and business. I think it's really interesting to hear your point of view, especially from the world of business and that side of things. Where can people find you online?
So they can find me anywhere if they put in Better Not Stop.
Okay.
So that's the name of my business, and that's like my Instagram, my Twitter, so like all my handles, the name of my website.
I love the consistency.
Really early, just early internet there. I'm old, just got them all right away. So yeah, Better Not Stop for anything. And there's a blog on my website as well, which has got hopefully some tips and tricks for people to be a bit more sustainable. So like lists of plastic-free websites that I use and stuff like that. So I'm always happy to talk with anybody about anything. They don't have to be a business owner, but you know, if they are and they want to become a B Corp, you know where to find me.
Yeah, please rate us on wherever you're listening to the podcast, so Apple, Spotify, wherever, and leave us a 5-star review, and also follow us on socials. We're at Sam and Ellie Pod on Instagram, Twitter.
We don't talk about the Twitter.
And join our Facebook group called the Group Discuss Things, because we're trying to get more people involved in the discussion. It's, you know, we're all learning together, and it's about having having more of a discussion about it with everyone. If you've got things to say, you can put it in there. You can tell us how you think we should improve, what you think we should talk about, anything. So yeah. And we'll see you next week.
Woo! Bye.